Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the second part of the conversation between Phil and David Peters on expanding your skill sets. If you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, check your podcast feed.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Very involved in Virginia Commonwealth as far as
I was just going to say I do some volunteering for them, and I come in and I speak to classes and stuff like that when I'm asked to. Have just developed a relationship. They're a Richmond school, and I'm a Richmond guy. So I try my best to help out that school. What is a Richmond guy? A Richmond guy, I would say, is somebody who is very proud of the fact that they're from Richmond, Virginia, and they try their best to kind of be a part of that community and to try to do positive things in that area. VCU is in an area in Richmond that hasn't always been a great place to live, but over time, VCU and the folks that are in that community have really done a lot to try to make that a better place. And so there's a little bit of pride there for sure. And so that's what I mean.
No, I understand what you mean. I'm originally born and bred in New York, okay?
All right.
A lot of rye bread, by the way. They have good rye bread. But the thing is, I've been out of New York for such a long time, but, when people say to me, where are you from? I always say, well, I was born and raised in New York. All right? I don't necessarily say, oh, I lived in Maryland for more years than I lived in New York. And then they start saying, well, how are those Yankees doing this year? So I say, I don't even know anyone who plays on the Yankees anymore. So I understand what you say about that. And now I'm going to ask you, do you know what's the makeup of the professors at Virginia Commonwealth? A lot of PhDs?
A lot of PhDs. I mean, like a lot of other universities. I mean, I don't know the exact makeup, just to be fair. I don't want to say that I do. I don't. But they have a lot of PhDs. There's a lot of folks that have worked in the profession too. I mean, and they have, I think at least there, I will say that they've tried to make an effort to have a hand on the pulse of what is going on in the profession. Because I think that that's actually what you're hitting at, Phil, is that sometimes there's this disconnect between academics and what's actually going on in the firms. And I mean, if you're in, kind of academic land and you never step out of that and you really don't, kind of ask what's going on to the people that are in the firms, there's going to be a disconnect and you're going to be preparing students for things that may not be relevant.
At the University of Maryland, they do have two types of teachers, okay? Type A, they have full-time research people,
Right.
And by the way, most people don't know, they were actually involved with the COVID vaccine.
Oh, wow.
That's just a joke. All right. Oh.
Okay.
They publish, publish or perish. That's the old thing. But I had a friend of mine who was a full-time professor at American University. He'd been there for years, so he never had to publish. but he was there 30 years, 25 years, and he retired. He got a job as a full-time lecturer, because they have lecturers, which are full-time people. They don't have to do research, and they just have to teach another, maybe one or two classes. All right? Now, he's worked in the field of auditing.
Yeah. Right?
Very knowledgeable. And by the way, the one area that I did not like at all when I worked in a public accounting firm was auditing. All right?
Me too.
Yeah, it was a cure for insomnia. But it was really, who did you work for? I'm just curious, which firms did you work for?
Well, so I never went into public. I did have an internship at a small CPA firm in Chicago, and then I pretty much knew that I wanted to work in industry. And so I worked for a hedge fund for a little while. I worked for Chesapeake Capital Corporation. I then after the financial crisis, I started working for Elephant Auto Insurance, which is a 6-state auto insurance in Richmond. And I was employee number 50 long, long ago. They have about 800 employees these days, so that shows you how long ago that was. And then I was the first CFO of Compare.com. So Compare.com is a price comparison website for auto insurance rates, sort of like Kayak for auto insurance in a way. And so I did that for a little while, and then I worked for Carroll Financial Associates in Charlotte, North Carolina for a little while. And I've kind of always done, you know, other things, kind of done my own thing for a little while. So after working at Carroll for a while, I decided that I was going to step out on my own. So I've never worked in, in one of the big four firms or anything like that. It was just not something that I personally wanted to do, you know, just wasn't something that was in my vision of what I wanted, I guess.
How did you satisfy the experience requirement?
By working as a staff accountant at Chesapeake Capital for a hedge fund. Started off as a staff accountant, and my duties kind of expanded.
Was it just accounting experience back then, or was it working under a CPA?
I believe it was working under a CPA, which I did. I also had an internship prior to that where I was working for a tax firm. I was working for a CPA firm that's specialized in tax in Gurnee, Illinois, where I grew up. So that helped with.
Where is Gurnee, Illinois?
30 miles north of Chicago, about as far north and as far east as you can get and not be in Lake Michigan or Wisconsin.
Well, you got that down.
People always ask me that question, Phil. They always say, "Well, where is Gurnee?" And they also like to say Gurnee, which a Gurnee is something different. That hopefully not something that you have experience with. So Gurnee, Illinois. Yeah. So I went to Warden Township High School, and right next to the Wisconsin border, but still in Illinois. So.
When did you finally, you worked for, you must be about, but how old are you? You've done all these jobs, and don't tell me your age, it's not really fair. Anyway, I just want, when did you finally decide that you didn't want to work for anybody?
I think that probably when it happened was I was at Carroll Financial, and I just said, you know, the job was fine. I really enjoyed what I was doing, but it was just this sense of, I got to try this. And if I fail, I fail. But if I thrive, I thrive. And I think that when you go out on your own, I think that there is that point where you're just like, you know what? I just got to see. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I want to see. My dad was a small business owner. My dad owned a sheet metal fabrication business, still does, in Grays Lake, Illinois. You know, he did that, and I worked for a lot of small businesses, and Elephant Auto Insurance at the time, I mean, it was a startup. So I had always kind of had that, you know, wiring, I guess, you know. And so for me, there was just a point when I was working at Carroll Financial, where I was like, you know what, this is good. This is really good, but I want to see if I can do this.
So what did you start doing when you went in on your own? What was the first thing you did? You knew you had to make some money, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what you did. How'd you get the practice going?
Well, I think that the first thing that I knew was that I didn't want to just sort of pound the pavement trying to get clients, because generally speaking, and this kind of goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier, I don't think that you really form lasting client relationships if you're just an order taker. And so I did not want to do that. So what I did was I said, you know what? I am just going to talk to people. I am going to get in front of as many people as I possibly can, and I'm going to tell them that I'm out on my own. And at the time, I was already doing some speaking and some teaching and things like that. And so that was a kind of nice sort of jumping off point, you know, because I was in front of groups a lot. And so, you know, and for me, it was never a hard sell or anything like that. I generally don't think that hard sells really work in financial services anymore. I think people kind of, you know, if anything, it's kind of a negative thing and people kind of push back on that. So I would just tell people what I was doing. I would say, yeah, you know, I'm out on my own. I'm doing, I'm doing some tax work. I can also help you out if you're looking at maybe if you need a second set of eyes on your retirement portfolio, if you need help with, life insurance products or something like that. You know, my background's in insurance. I can help you out with that too. And I just kind of kept talking to people and had a lot of coffee meetings and a lot of lunches and went to community events and did volunteering and things like that, just to kind of get in front of people and just talk. And that worked for me. I don't know that that's maybe necessarily everybody's path, but at least for me, that's what I needed. I needed to just tell people what I was doing. And at first it took some effort for me to just kind of say to myself, you know, let it fly, you know, tell people what you're doing. If you tell people what you're doing, good things will happen. And for me, it did.
Is this back? You started back where you grew up? Is that what you started to practice?
I started doing stuff on the side, I mean, a long, long time ago. So it was always kind of developing, but I was a little bit scared to jump out on my own right away. I mean, I just, I kind of always kind of had that vision. But for me, you have to get to a point, I think, when you're getting ready to get out here on your own. You got to get to a point where you're saying, all right, if sink or swim, I don't care. I got to try it, you know, where you're not worried about, if you're too worried about failing, it's not the right time. You just, you know, but you got to just say, all right, I'm going to take a swing. And I wasn't ready to do that right away, although I've always done some stuff on the side, always, seemingly throughout my entire career.
But where did you start your practice? I mean, what city were you living in?
Richmond. Okay. Richmond. Yeah. So my practice has been around for about three years now. So where I've truly been out on my own and truly been where it was no longer just kind of a side gig, where I kind of formalized everything and started, kind of bringing on my own clients and everything. And that, but it's worked out very well. And I'm personally glad I did it. And I basically, like I said, I mean, I just kind of started telling people about things. And I also kind of decided early on that I was only going to take on clients I liked, you know, because that was the big difference. I mean, when you're out on your own, you're picking out your own clients. And so I said, at that point in my career, I was strong enough to say, okay, I don't need this business. And I think for a lot of CPAs, I think that that's one that we struggle with, you know, but I kind of got to the point where I was just like, I'm only going to do business with people that I like, with partners that I like, with people who I genuinely enjoy being around. And it makes my days a lot more enjoyable. Client meetings are great, you know, whereas I think some CPAs, I think they dread client meetings. They're like, oh gosh, I got to talk to so-and-so today. They're always in a lousy mood. They're always going to pick on, you know, things that I'm doing. And they're always going to, I'm dreading that meeting. I don't dread meetings. And I think that, as a profession, I think a lot of folks need to be a little bit better on that is that there's something powerful about being able to turn away business.
Well, you've been in this 3 years, and is it just you, or do you have other people working for you?
No, I have a few folks working for me. My team is it's me and three other people. So I have somebody who helps me. My brother Evan helps me with everything that I do on the kind of the continuing education side of the house, because I teach and speak all over the country. And I put out a lot of my own videos and a lot of my own courses on Peters Professional Education.com. We're not doing on-demand stuff yet, but hopefully we'll be NASBA certified soon and we'll be able to offer that. But I do a lot of my own course materials where we're working through other sponsors and things like that. And so he helps me with that. He also helps me with the podcast. And then I have two other folk, Brianne White, Brianne helps me out with just kind of keeping my life organized, and also helps me with tax preparation and bookkeeping and that kind of stuff. And then Shad Hijawi, who is a staff accountant and who helps me out with just putting together tax returns and that kind of stuff. So yeah, so I have a staff. It's me and three others, and we've done okay. The pandemic, I was worried about the pandemic, but we came out okay. You know, we just kind of kept on, trudging along, and you find ways.
Yeah, well, that's what you have to do. You know, either, you know, just say, it's going to kill me, you know, and everything that could have gone wrong happened to me, you know?
Yeah.
Right? And then yeah. There's other people who say, you know what? I'm gonna make it through this thing. And do you have some specific type of businesses that you deal with?
I've sort of carved a niche for startup, would call sort of like embryonic state businesses, like not even startups. It's like, you know, hey Dave, I got a good idea, help me to try to just sort of get organized and get up off the ground. And I would say that, you know, that was almost kind of by accident, but I think just because of my background in startups, because of working at Elephant Auto Insurance in the early days, and because of being the first CFO of Compare.com, because of that experience, I think it's just, I think a lot of just kind of small business startups, embryonic state businesses where they're just trying to get some help, trying to get off the ground, that tends to be where it, kind of my niche. But in terms of like industry and that kind of stuff, which maybe that's more what you were referring to, I don't necessarily specialize in particular industries. I've had a lot of work with insurance companies and that kind of stuff just because of my background in insurance, but I don't necessarily specialize in, you know, I will only do business with insurance companies. Not true.
You're a born salesman.
Am I a born salesman? Absolutely not. I am not a good salesman at all. I actually don't really like, it makes me feel uncomfortable talking about me, but I think what I've learned over time is that it's okay to share things about yourself that forms good business relationships, but good relationships in general. I mean, you know, share with people what you're doing, share with people what you're working on, because opportunities tend to arise because, you know, you'll be talking to somebody at a conference or something like that over lunch and they'll say, hey, I could use some help with that. And, you know, what do you think? And you'll be like, yeah, okay, you know, let's do coffee, let's do lunch. And then all of a sudden you're off to the races. And so, but I am not good at selling. I really actually think I'm pretty terrible at it.
See, I look at you like you look like a natural born salesman. You know, you speak, and I'll take a dozen. What are you selling? I'm sorry, but anyway, Dave. By the way, I would like you to mention. Tell us about, you know, tell people about your podcast. Get some more people listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you giving me the space to do that. So the name of the podcast is Accountable. Accountable is, the tagline is the podcast for CFOs by a CFO. And so we talk about everything that, you know, may be of interest to CFOs that are out there, financial leaders, controllers, vice presidents of finance, those types of folks. Just to give you an idea, the last couple of shows we've done one on building a data warehouse. We did one recently on corporate volunteering. We did one on health insurance and trying to pick out good health insurance plans for companies. We've done one, did a couple of shows here on recruiting. We did one recently on accounting education and kind of what's going on within the universities and things like that. And so it was something that I closely with the South Carolina Association of CPAs trying to develop their CPE content that they're kind of facing towards folks that are in business and industry. And I wanted to kind of do something to try to help that. I mean, historically speaking, CPE, it's always been either tax or audit. And so we're trying to change that. At least SCAPA is, and I'm trying to do my best to try to help them with that. And so the podcast sort of grew out of that. And we've done, I think we've had about 16 episodes that have dropped, so far, and early returns have been good. I mean, a lot of folks seem to enjoy it, and I have guests on every time, and it's just kind of, like this podcast. We let the conversation go, and we see where it takes us, and it's been a lot of fun.
Is it on the same time every week?
It drops on every other Monday. So every other Monday we drop a new one, and we are on basically anywhere that you can get podcasts. So Apple Pods and Spotify, and so basically anywhere that you can get podcasts. If you search for David Peters Accountable, I'll come up.
And what about a time? Do you know the definite time? You don't know.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I know that it's Monday morning. It's Monday morning when we typically drop. So I know that the next one is getting ready to drop on April 26th. So April 26th will be our next episode. So,
all right, sounds good. How long is it? An hour? What do you do?
We typically do about 30 minutes to an hour. I don't like going more than that. I think that with the conversations that we're having, I know that we're kind of facing toward people. Our primary listeners are folks that are busy people, and so usually 30 to 45 minutes is probably about right for the podcast, and that seems to work pretty well with folks.
Well, David, thank you very much for being on my podcast, and I enjoyed speaking with you. You're very easy to speak with, which is great.
Yeah. Well, Phil, I've enjoyed it. This has been a lot of fun, and thank you so much for having me on. And it's just fun to talk to other practitioners about just our profession and just kind of everything that's going on with it. It's a constantly evolving profession, so that makes it fun to talk about.
And good luck with all of your ventures. It seems like you have a lot going on. So I wish you those. And this will be the end of this podcast. This is Phil Yeager. Don't forget, we are on every week. We have a new podcast, and we try to get areas that people would be interested in, not just talking about debits and credits and debits. We try to talk about different areas of interest. And if you do have an area you want us to talk about, we'll try to find someone, and you can call me. Here's my phone number. All right. My office number is area code 301-874-4900. That's extension 5. That's 301-874-4900, extension 5. Call me. I actually answer the phone. That's what makes me different. I actually talk on the phone. All right. Do you remember what a phone is? I don't have one ready. Oh, here it is. Well, this is a cell phone. It's not a phone. But anyway, seriously, you have any questions? Give me a call. CPA Review, give me a call. Take care, everyone. David, thank you very much, and hope to meet you one day. And we'll see you next time for another episode of CPA Review and More. Take care, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager's CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager's CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.